I've also asked the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message. Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Touched together.
Radio.
Underground.
We have audio,
no video.
Radio Free Guy.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to Radio Free Readout. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and this is episode 15-01, episode 1501. This is the very first episode of 2015, and thank you all. I hope you had a very happy, blessed new year, and it's just an honor to have you guys, all of us, going into this new year and the challenges that we face together ahead of us, that we are together, that we are going to lock arms and we are going to stand for liberty. We're going to stand for our Judeo-Christian heritage and all the things that we hold dear, that so many sacrificed all so we could have the blessings that we have today. The blessings that there are certain groups and individuals who are trying to rob us and future generations of. But we stand together, unified in the cause of liberty. And it is good to be with others, to be with you, to be with all of you. I was, you know, yesterday, we're going to do something different, because yesterday we had a presentation, and we've talked a lot about committees of correspondence and assemblies. And as I often allude to, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that we are continuously working on. That's why I so appreciate your support. Your prayers, super important. Words of encouragement, you have no idea. Those come at the darkest times. And your financial support are huge. There's costs that are involved beyond just paying for, you know, a website. There's a lot of stuff going on, and we're very busy and we're very active. And so we appreciate all the support that you guys give us and just for being out there. But it was a privilege, as always, to be able to meet so many of you face-to-face and also so many new faces. And so I want to welcome the new listeners that have recently, in the last couple of weeks, been exposed to Radio Free Readout. And I want to welcome all of you, a hearty welcome to those of you from WDFP listeners over there, Restoring America Radio. Great to be on board with you guys. Last week was our first week, and so that was just a really treat, a really great treat. I'm just so excited I can't even talk straight. I'm tongue-tied. And plus, yeah, I've been doing a lot of talking lately. But some exciting things happening, some really exciting things happening. Now, for our new listeners, we've been talking actually about assemblies and committees for a long time, well over a year. And we've worked with some of these assemblies and committees who are actually begun carrying the task out of preserving liberty locally and educating one another, standing together for a common cause, historical committees that were extremely powerful forces in the time of the beginning of our country during and leading up to the revolution, the Revolutionary War. And there's a time now where we have an anti-American agenda that has as its end goal to have us in chains. And that is the complete opposite to liberty. So now, once again, is the time. The time is required. This is the season where we have to stand and implement tools that have been proven in the past that have led to liberty. We're following in the footsteps of the founding fathers, and we've talked a lot about that. So what I was going to do with this first episode is review Radio Free Readout, talk about our goals, our vision for 2015, review 2014, and explain for so many of the new listeners that we are getting all the time what we stand for, what we're all about. So we're in the process of that, and it's an ongoing educating process. In fact, we're working on a YouTube video right now that we can post on Radio Free Readout to explain, you know, just in an overview, what we stand for, who we are, what we do, and why. And just this week, we actually produced a video for Amron, introducing Amron, because we get letters from listeners, followers, radio operators, and people in the preparedness community that want to learn about emergency communications, and they stumble across Amron because there's links, and it's all over the internet, and it's preparedness articles and forums and things like that. So someone clicks on a link and then they see this Amron. And so without exploring or looking very far, they just decide, oh, there's a contact form. So I'll just shoot them an email and say, tell me all about Amron. And so what they're going to get in the future is a hyperlink to that video. And that will be our response. It's going to save us a lot of time because we deal with so many emails, thousands and thousands of listeners across the country, approaching 2,000 Amron operators in the North American continent. And so that makes us pretty busy folks. And for being volunteers, I'm the one that's probably the least volunteer, just because of your donations and your support have enabled me barely to be able to focus on this full time. And so I'm very, very grateful for that. I'm humbled and grateful, and I feel that I have the most amazing job in the world. And it's just such a blessing. So we've been dedicating a lot of time to just improving that and making it better all the time as far as the radio network, trying to get information out there to explain and add more clarity to the mission so people understand it and get on board. There's a lot of people that linger out there and they say, well, I came across this. A friend of mine told me about Radio Free Readout. I didn't really know what it was. And I was listening to this podcast one day. I'm like, man, I love what these people are talking about, what they agree. You know, I agree with them. And then they realize, hey, this is that thing that a friend sent to me a while back and I didn't really get it. But now that I'm listening, now I'm hooked and I'm on board. So we need to kind of jumpstart that process so we can make it really clear right up front so folks understand that. And that's really important now that we're spreading out so far where folks are putting hyperlinks into Amron, Radio Free Readout, linking back to the websites from various places around the web. And now that we're also streaming on WDFP, a lot of patriots that are getting exposed to it, that this is their first reaction is, huh? And then it takes a little while to get them to the, oh, I get it point. So we're trying to make some improvements there. So bear with us. These growing pains, I'll tell you what, there's no manual on how to do this. We're making it up as we go. And we're doing it together with you guys. Appreciate it. Don't forget also, you can follow us on facebook.com/radiofreeredoubt. And also Amron has a Facebook page as well. And well, this is the point where we get into the news and commentary. News and commentary is brought to you by 299 Days, the author Glenn Tate, with all 10 books out now, and including the audiobooks, books 1 through 10. Learn more at 299 days. That's 299days.com. Okay, starting off in the nice job, Barack category, from the Daily Signal, all these illegal aliens that have been coming into the country, well, they're just not getting a free ride. They're actually being charged, and they'll be held accountable. So we are going to give them a subpoena to show in court so they can answer for their actions. They can answer for their dreams. Well, 96% of illegal immigrants now and their families with deportation orders can't be found. So that's just wonderful. That was that came to light from an investigation by a Houston TV station. We'll post the link to that and all the stories and things that we're going to be talking about on the highlights and resources posting at RadioFreeReadout.com. So you can read those stories for yourself. Now, this is one that you won't necessarily find linked to because we're bringing this to you from Radio Free Readout. Speaking of the illegal immigration problem, there is a meeting tomorrow night, Monday night. That would be January 5th at 6 p.m. Pacific to respond to this sanctuary city status that the Spokane City Council voted 5-1 back in October to implement. Now, they are calling for as many patriots and concerned citizens as possible to show. This is just as important as showing up to a Second Amendment rally or pro-life rally. This is our heritage. This is the laws of our land. If we're going to be a nation of laws, need to stand by these laws. Basically, the Spokane City Council voted back in, I believe it was October, where Mike Fagan, who is on the City Council, strong patriot, voted against it, and Mike Allen opposed it. I'm not familiar with him, but I have met Mike Fagan a couple of times. Great guy. So they're saying once we make this a sanctuary city, you're going to see taxes increase. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that. And it's true. I mean, that's the pattern that we've seen in all these cities. But what they did was they passed this ordinance where any officials, city officials, including police, cannot inquire about someone's legal status. And of course, this 5-2 vote came after a bunch of testimony against allowing, well, basically what's happening is the Spokane City Council is saying the law doesn't matter. We totally disregard the law. So immigration law, hey, they're welcome here. And nobody better ask if someone's legal or illegal. That wouldn't be fair. So apparently the Spokane City Council, 5 out of the 7 feel that the rule of law is subjective. It's depending on, you know, a whim or how you feel that day or whatever issues got pulling on your heartstrings or whatever it is. Basically, the law does not matter. And there were some very rational arguments placed against this. Here's this executive summary that was of this report that was put out by this organization. Where is it? Let me find it. I had it. Okay. The Federation for American Immigration Reform, or also known as FAIR. They are going to be presenting this, talking about this document, this finding tomorrow, to bring an argument and hold accountable the city council who decided that the rule of law doesn't apply to them. This executive summary, I mean, this is empirical data. Washington's accommodating policy toward illegal aliens has resulted in a fast-growing illegal alien population. Of course, it creates a magnet, right? And a rapidly increasing fiscal burden on the state taxpayers. This is Washington patriots. Rise up and pay attention. This is the American Redoubt. They're adding an additional $2.7 billion of debt this year. The study examining what illegal immigration costs Washington taxpayers includes $2.7 billion as a result of an estimated 275,000 illegal aliens, plus 104,000 U.S.-born children of illegal aliens. Of about 78,000 of them are school-aged. The combined K through 12 fiscal burden for the children of illegal aliens in regular instruction and supplemental instruction amounts to nearly $1.6 billion. Justice and law enforcement costs result in a net outlay of about $176 million. And these outlays include policing, court, and prison costs. Healthcare and social assistance programs add additional $652 million. That means the average Washington household headed by a U.S. citizen bears an annual burden of about $970, just about a $1,000 bill for each head of household. Wow. Illegal aliens pay relatively little in taxes because the low earnings and work underground, the work in the underground economy, those estimates are that they pay about $203 million in state and local taxes. That's good, right? $203 million. Well, they're working, they're paying taxes. No. What they contribute, $203 million, is only 7.4% of the estimated burden. So, not good. You need to stand and let your voice be heard. The Patriots are calling for you to help if you live within, I don't know, an hour, 2 hours radius from Spokane. This affects you. It's coming to a city near you. They're setting the trend here. Remember, they got to make the conservative areas fall so the rest will fall more easily. The Honorable Barbara Jordan had this to say about this. This is brilliant. This is so simple that even a liberal should be able to get this. She said, "The credibility of immigration policy can be measured by a simple yardstick. People who should get in do get in. People who should not get in are kept out. And people who are judged deportable are required to leave." How hard is that? That's beautiful. It's so simple. But it's an uphill battle because, well, there's some people that want to take us down the path that will lead to the destruction of this country and a nation that's ruled by law. Well, anyway, I'm going to turn you over to Fox 519 with the eye on the economy. A little bit of an extended one last couple of weeks. I think he's making up for lost time. Time he took off for the holidays. 10-minute Fox 519. So I'll be back in about 10 minutes. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Fox 519, it's all yours.
I heard someone make an awesome statement the other day. Gas prices are below $2. The Russian economy is about to collapse again, and the Cowboys are back in the playoffs. Are we in the 90s? Nope, we are not, my friends, and the last time fuel prices were this low was in the early 2008, right before the economy had some major trouble. Welcome to 2015, and in the immortal words of my friend Glenn Tate, 2015 is going to be epic. This week we saw oil prices continue to decline as Americans and the Saudis try to collapse the Russian economy. We have seen the euro take a major tumble, and if you live on the progressive side of Washington State, well, I have some bad information about your garbage. This is Sunday, January 4th, 2015, and I am Fox 519, bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Welcome back. Eye on the Economy is brought to you this week by the PrepperRecon.com store. Stop by the PrepperRecon.com supply store for a great selection of Molly compression packs, hydration kits, and concealed carry tactical slings. Packs and slings are available in several tacti-cool colors and camo patterns with your choice of patch to let liberals know how you feel. Choose from the ever-popular Moulin LaBey Come and Take It patch, the Sheepdog patch, or matching U.S. flag patches. Also check out the great selection of Molly-compatible individual first aid kits, which feature an IBD chest seal, quick clot, NPA tourniquet, an EMT shears, and tons of extras. Go to the PrepperRecon.com store and click on the store tab at the top of the homepage. And now, on to the news.
I hate to burst your bubble, everyone. Despite what the mainstream Paul Krugmans of the world tell you, the economy is not getting better, and we are not in recovery. The world is about to become a very, very dangerous place. This week it was reported on both MarketWatch.com and InvestmentWatchBlog.com that oilfield services company Baker Hughes Incorporated says the number of rigs exploring oil and natural gas in the United States plunged by 35 last week to 1,840. The number of open and exploring U.S. oil rigs continues to slide this week due to the extremely low profit margin that oil producers, refiners, and sellers are seeing from the low crude oil prices.
These low oil prices are also killing the dividends that the oil companies normally offer to their clients at the end of the year, causing many investors to flee from oil stocks. This is systemically shutting down oil companies here stateside and focusing the world back to the OPEC for their oil needs. Well, just like with last week, why is this happening? Well, the West wants Russia dead. If we look at this historically, it has happened before, back in 1986, when the Americans and the Saudis engineered oil to fall below $10 a barrel. That effectively collapsed the economy within the USSR because they're so oil dependent. But this time, it's different. Russia sees the writing on the walls, and they have done something to prevent this in the future. They have gold. Lots of gold. China also has gold. And the BRICS also have gold. The Russians have learned that we don't bluff when it comes to messing with the oil markets. They have seen us play this card before, and last time, we won that round. But Russia, China, and the BRICS have a new card to play, and when they do, it will change the face of the world economy forever. Gold-backed currencies. That's their new card. And I fear it may only be a matter of weeks before Russia and the BRICS announce they have a basket of currencies with gold that back it, effectively killing the petrodollar. So, enjoy your cheap oil while it lasts. My advice, stock up now on any petroleum-based product. Motor oil, gasoline, kerosene, and chainsaw bar oil. Because very soon it's going to get very expensive once the Russians decide to play this trump card. Another world news tonight. The euro begins to walk a tightrope that is down to its last frayed strand. I've said it before, Europe is where we're heading. Think of the eurozone as a bunch of states, much like we have here, and much like our states, they are beginning to go bankrupt, or are very, very, very close to going bankrupt. And now, Greece is about to take a tumble. In fact, they're about to leave the euro and go it alone, and most likely collapse because they're up to debt in their eyeballs and they have no way out. This will cause a tremendous collapse in their economy. In a detailed article via mainstream magazine The Economist, the story about how the Greece exit of euro will cause damage to the entire euro could set off a chain of events that could lead to the breakup of the eurozone and the collapse of the euro itself. Probably the most poignant statement in the article was this one. Quote, "The continuing dismal economic performance of the eurozone now poses a big political risk to the single currency. In the short run, so long as other creditor currencies, and that mainly means principally Germany, insist on budgetary rectitude and reject the proposals for further monetary and fiscal stimulus. That performance seems unlikely to improve, and worse, inflation is now so dangerously low that the eurozone threatens to tip its years of deflation and stagnation reminiscent of that of Japan in the 1990s. Continent's leaders have largely failed to push through the structural reforms that can make their economies more competitive. When the voters see no hope, they are likely to vote for the populace, and not just Greece." End quote. Now, I'm going to substitute the writing in this article. I would actually replace the word populace with the word progressives. Here is my take. When Greece exits the euro, and they will because they have no choice in the matter, it'll cause tremendous ripples through the world economy, setting off a chain of events that will likely cause bondholders of the euro to jump ship and flee into commodity-based safe havens like gold, silver, wheat, and other currencies. This will be a good move for all of us holding precious metals, but over the long term it will cause major impacts to the US markets when those companies who are invested in the bonds lose their money in their initial investments. The euro is our future. It's where the dollar is headed soon. Combine that with the potential trump card that the Russians will play soon, and we'll have a nightmare the likes of the world has never seen. If you haven't bought your gold or silver this month, go get some now while it's still affordable. Finally tonight, in news from the Redoubt. If your trash bill goes up over in Seattle, well, you're being penalized for owning a home and not complying with Agenda 21 on the premise that no one can own property, and should you own a home, you must do exactly what the state tells you to do. The Seattle City Council has passed a new ordinance Monday that can mean a $1 fine for people who toss too many table scraps into the trash. Under the current Seattle Public Utilities rules, people living in single-family homes are encouraged but not required to dispose of food waste and other compostable paper in compost bins. Apartment buildings must have compost bins available, but the residents of those apartments aren't required to use them. Under the new rules, collectors could take a cursory look each time they dump trash into a garbage truck, effectively spying on your garbage. If they see compostable items that make up 10% or more of your trash, they'll enter the violation into a computer system that their trucks already carry and will leave a ticket on your garbage bin that says to expect a $1 fine in your next garbage bill. Apartment buildings and businesses will be subject to the same 10% threshold, but will get two warnings before they are fined. A third violation, it will result in a $50 fine each time. The dumpsters are going to be checked on a random basis. Here's the kicker. The council vote to pass the new composting measure was a unanimous 9-0. No public hearing was held. There you have it, folks. Agenda 21 in action. If you own a home, you can't do with it what you will. Sure, the smart move is to get a bunch of chickens and feed them your table scraps in return for eggs. But not everyone can afford to do that or do it in the city that you're in. Here's the fact that Seattle is one of the most liberal and progressive cities in America, has just done this and successfully passed this, has opened the doors for other cities to do this. And they don't even ask for public comments on the issue. They just did it without inputs from the citizens. Bigger than that, it shows that Agenda 21, the focus to get people out of homes and then land and push them into apartments and small spaces where they can be controlled, is alive and well. Sure, it may not be obvious with your garbage bill, but it is there and needs to be combated any chance it gets. Don't stay silent on this, everyone. Don't let the incremental creep of Agenda 21 sneak up on you. They attempted to do it with Bundy Ranch, and look how you all stepped up to help with that. That is the kind of action you need to take when stupid items like this are on the line. It starts with your garbage, and then your power, and then who knows where it'll end up. Finally, for my advice for you tonight, like I said earlier, time to stock up on petroleum-based products. Make sure you have plenty of gasoline with fuel stabilizer for your generators and vehicles. Plenty of kerosene to supplement your space heating and motor oil for your vehicles. Yes, eventually it'll all go away and we may be back to horse and buggy. But in the meantime, don't be foolish and let this opportunity pass you up. For Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
Watch through the eyes of Noah Parker as a global empire takes shape. Ancient writings are fulfilled, and the last days fall upon the once great United States of America. Buy The Days of Noah, Book 1, Conspiracy, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.
You're listening to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American readout.
Dares to be different.
Whatever happened to the fear of God? Whatever happened to church on Sunday? Whatever happened to the velvet glove and the iron fist? Good old-fashioned brutality.
Oh, I lost track of my segments. This is segment two, John Jacob Schmidt Show on Radio Free Redoubt. And this segment is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate out of Boundary County, Idaho. Learn more if you want to get to the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho. SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Great, God-fearing patriot-owned business that will help you get strategically relocated to the American Redoubt. I want to continue on with the news, and we're going to run through this kind of quick because I want to make sure we got enough time. Maryland troopers routinely check out-of-state license plates. Okay, if you're going to be traveling through occupied territory, this is a trend that we're a lot of people are very concerned that this could spread like most cancers and diseases, liberalism does. What they're doing is they're looking at a license plate. If you're from an out-of-state, if you have an out-of-state license plate, remember, they have extremely strict anti-gun, pro-slavery, pro-tyranny laws there. So you don't have, they have set themselves above God by deeming you don't have the right to self-defense. I don't know how they pulled that off. But anyway, that's what tyrants do. So if they notice that your plate is from out of state, they'll run it. When that comes back, when you do, a 1027 on a DQ, okay, it comes back as, your name, address, date of birth. I mean, all your information that's on your driver's license, including whether or not you have a CCW, concealed weapons permit, from the state that you're in or at all. So if they see that you have a CCW, then they pull you over and search your vehicle. And if a weapon is found, it's off to jail. So beware. It is definitely occupied territory. These are not American value embracing people in many parts, especially in New Europe, up there around, you know, Maryland, Massachusetts, New York. These areas are becoming increasingly oppressive and hostile toward freedom and concepts of liberty. So be very, very careful of that. There's a sad story that happened inside the American Redoubt. A young woman, a mother, a patriot, was in Hayden, Idaho, last Thursday, Friday. I believe it was Friday, a couple days after Christmas. New Year's. Anyway, it was this last week. She was shot in the head and killed instantly by a two-year-old, her two-year-old son. And it was tragic. Of course, it went nationwide. And the libtards had all their anti-gun statements and, oh, how you love your gun culture. Well, this is what you get. We don't feel bad. And all this other, you know, just heartless, hate-filled stuff that they do. But Idaho is a gun culture. The American Redoubt is a strong gun culture. And whenever you have a culture that's heavily leans toward a certain lifestyle, we are a car culture. So it stands to reason that we have a lot more car accidents and deaths resulting from car accidents, as opposed to maybe Burundi. Okay, so we have a lot more highway systems, a lot more vehicles out on the road, and so it stands to reason that we are going to have accidents and sometimes resulting in deaths. Well, a community that does a lot of ice fishing, well, every year somebody falls through the ice and they end up in the obituaries. You know, it's part of your culture and it's who you are, and it's just one of the risks that you accept. When you have a lot of guns, it stands to reason that, I have to say this, accidents, most all accidents, unless it's a freak accident, windstorm knocks the top of a tree off and it lands on your car and kills you. I'm talking about most accidents are avoidable. This mother had a purse designed to hold a concealed weapon. It had a special compartment, a zippered compartment that her weapon went into. And she kept a close eye on it, except for an instant. Avid shooter, she and her husband both, and concealed weapon permit holder, had the two-year-old sitting in the cart right next to the purse. She turned her back just for who knows how long, just a couple of seconds. That's all it took. So instead of armchair quarterbacking this, let's just make sure that, it's sad what happened to this young lady. And nothing you can do will bring her back. But what we can do is learn from it so it doesn't happen to you. This is a very, very, very rare accident. In the American Redoubt, very heavy gun culture, gun accidents are not nearly as common as you might think. But, you know, I know Mrs. Schmidt, we've raised the kids with guns and we both carry, always have and do. And she keeps it in her purse. That's her primary carry means. And she has a special compartment for it. Of course, you know, we've always kept the guns up and do not put one in the chamber when you got a two-year-old around. You know, she carries in condition two. She keeps a loaded magazine in, but without one in the chamber. And it takes just a fraction of a second to chamber around. And the kids were until they're 10, 11 years old before they can physically be strong enough, pull the slide and chamber around. And by that time, they've done so much shooting and they're so familiar with it. They're not going to, you know, there were some people, initial comments were, this comes down to training. The parents should train their children. You cannot train a two-year-old about gun safety. You just have to physically keep it so that it is not reachable. So in the future, if what we could do with anything is, you know, pray for the family, the young man that's got a boy to raise by himself now, is be confronted with how to explain this to his son one day, if ever. But, you know, it's a sad situation. So let's learn from it. So anyway, several people have talked to me about that and asked me about it. And, you know, God bless her. She took measures to, you know, protect her family and protect herself. And she made a mistake and it cost her life. There's no oops. Oh, that was, I'm so embarrassed. I'll never do that again. It's, she doesn't get a second chance. And it's sad, but you know, just like a chainsaw or a car or a gun, anything like that, you know, you just have to make extra precautions and learn from this so that we can avoid this from happening again. That's all I got to say about that. I'm going to run out of time. Listen to this. The Idaho Second Amendment Alliance notes with concern the recent multiple day suspension of a 7-year-old second grade student for bringing a toy to school. The reason for the suspension appears to be that the toy was in the shape of a gun. Middleton School District, this is in Idaho, their district policy states disciplinary action will be taken after reviewing all factors, including but not limited to the mandates of federal and state law, the student's actions, the risk of harm to the students, district personnel, patrons, the student's academic standing, the likelihood of recurring violation, and the student's prior conduct. These are the things that they take into consideration. So they suspend this boy for 7 days. He wasn't threatening with it. He wasn't malicious with it. He wasn't pointing at anybody. And it's a toy. 7 days. This is part of an indoctrination program. It's infiltrated our schools to make you feel icky about having a gun. Or drawing a picture of a gun. Drawing a picture of a gun. It's the same thing that they do with religious freedom. When a child wants to write an essay about Christmas and they write about Jesus and they're made to feel like they've done something wrong, well, you have to write about something else. You can't write your essay about, you know, that. And the child feels like they've done something naughty, wrong. That's part of the hardwiring of a child's psyche. And they know it. Well, the same thing is applied to the whole gun issue. When a child draws a picture of a gun, when he chews his peanut butter and jelly sandwich into the shape of a gun, he's suspended. Suspended from school. I mean, disciplinary action is taken that instills and reinforces in that child they have done something that is wrong. And shame on these people. We have to counter that. We have to counter that in our children because this is propaganda. Now, I love this. You know, I've got some old, you know, propaganda films. I mean, counter propaganda films, communist propaganda, stuff like this. We forget about this propaganda. In the 50s, they warned us of how the communists use propaganda. And how to counter and to be aware of it. But today, people like communism, first of all, it's dead. Secondly, even if it's not dead, what's the big deal and what's wrong with it? And third, I see some pictures of, you know, Che Guevara on these kids' shirts. So he must be cool. He can't be all that bad. But we got a screwed up society, right? But this is the product of propaganda and indoctrination. You don't believe me? Listen to this. And look at the contrast. Talk about in the 1950s. Let's talk about this current modern era. The voice you hear, that's Eric Holder, who's at the time when he said this, was a prosecuting attorney, a U.S. attorney. So take a listen.
I've also asked the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message.
In the schools, textbooks are rewritten to tell the communist version of history.
Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply
change the meaning of words like religion, and duty and democracy. The communists set out to brainwash the people.
Do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
14-year-old Polish children learn from textbooks like these.
It makes me livid when I hear the anti-self-defense thugs and their minions in the government, in the media, and from Hollywood talk about common sense gun regulation or reasonable measures to keep criminals from getting their hands on guns. Fortunately, the pro-Second Amendment Americans vastly outnumber the hopeful slave makers. Still, they keep pushing and pushing and pushing. Since they can't ban combat rifles or handguns outright without starting the Second American Revolution, they change their tactics. These appear as soft tactics, but their end goal is the same: disarm the American people. And their sights are set specifically on the middle class. These tactics are licensing and registration. This creeping gradualism is nothing short of tyranny, and has historically always led to confiscation. If they were honest with you and me, and especially themselves, they would acknowledge their measures do nothing to reduce crime. But then, reducing crime was never their goal. Vladimir Lenin said, "A system of licensing and registration is the perfect device to deny gun ownership to the bourgeoisie." But I say, never register or license your arms, and never give them up. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, in ideals which define us.
Tactical Wood Gas is your off-grid power solution. Tactical Wood Gas manufactures wood gas systems and 12-volt generators, and now you can store the power you produce. They offer affordable and expandable battery banks for power outages, including a ruggedized model for tactical use and field operations. Call them at 1-800-516-4249 or visit them today at www.tacticalwoodgas.com.
This is Shan Hemphill with Works LLC. We provide lifetime guaranteed holsters and magazine carriers for the armed citizen. Check us out at werkz.com or call 855-WORKS01 for your custom gear needs. Don't forget to use coupon RFR at checkout for 15% off. Thank you and God bless.
Okay, we're back. Segment three. Segment three, and this is where I'm going to re-air for you because several people have asked. When we gave this presentation yesterday, several folks are on board. They want to implement assemblies and committees in their communities. So saying, can you, is there any way, did you record it? Can you get it to me? Can you come to us? Can you do this presentation here? How teach us, how do we do this here? Well, this is very exciting. This is a very exciting time for the Patriots in America in the season that we're in. And it's even more exciting to be part of it. I can't even tell you. Okay, so for those of you who are curious about this, who've been asking about this, or who know about it but want to know more, I am going to re-air the only audio that I have possession of right now, and that is about a 20-minute introduction, and I was basically setting the tone for the audience of about 120, I don't know, there was an estimate between 110 and 125 people. That met at a church in the main auditorium to hear this presentation given by Shahram Haidian that he and I put together, worked to facilitate bringing this together. So this is about a 20-21 minute opening monologue and then an introduction to Pastor Haidian. And then what we're going to do this coming week, we've got the video and we've got the MP3. files that as soon as we get those, we're going to make sure those get processed and get those up there. So we're going to have those posted on Radio Free Redoubt, because there's a committee or an assembly coming near you, to you, in a in a community near you soon, especially in the American Redoubt. That's where we're focusing this on. But if this takes off like wildfire nationwide, then great. But we're focusing first on the American Redoubt. This is where it is all, this is the tip of the spear for the fight for liberty. And there are other conservative pockets, redoubts, in other parts of the country as well. So what we're trying to do is build the model that can be duplicated. And we're just following the model that and the example of the founding fathers who went before us and used this, these assemblies and committees to eventually, ultimately, win our freedom and win our liberty and became the country that we became. And so anyway, I'm going to turn you over to this. Now, this is sponsored by Katie Armor. They're the makers of AR-500 Level 3 body armor. Great stuff. And of course, they have all the accessories like mag pouches, dump pouches, and things like that. And check them out over at katiearmor.com. And don't forget to use your coupon code John Jacob and get a discount on your next purchase there. Okay, so this is the introduction at the assembly presentation yesterday on January 3rd, 2015.
We're going to be recording this for the benefit of several other parties, counties that are very interested in starting assemblies and committees in their communities. And so we're going to be able to, we're going to be talking more about that, how you can share that with some other folks. At the end, you're probably going to have a lot more questions than answers in some cases, but what we're going to do is set this body in North Idaho on a course for recovering, restoring, preserving liberty. So, for those of you who do not know me, I go by John Jacob Schmidt on a weekly podcast called Radio Free Redoubt. And I'm also the founder of a national communications emergency radio network called AMRON, or the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network. We have a lot of AMRON operators here tonight, or this morning, because they actually have a role in this, what we are going to be discussing today. The American Redoubt, a redoubt is a safe haven or a refuge, actually correctly pronounced redoubt. But that's what Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and Eastern Washington and Eastern Oregon are. It is a safe haven and refuge that God-fearing, liberty-minded people are moving to. And I've interviewed a lot of and read a lot of stories and personal accounts of immigrants who've come here from Czechoslovakia, from Belarus, from Ukraine, from Cuba, from communism. They understand fully what it's like. And they urge us, they plead with us, do not let America fall. You cannot let America fall. It is the last hope in the world. It's the last beacon of hope for freedom. And they're stunned. They cannot get it, why we are following this path toward what they fled. And they're begging us not to, but as a nation, we're not listening. Well, a lot of people that are conservative, God-fearing, liberty-minded people, they do see it. And they feel oppressed where they are. We've been meeting with a core group of legislators and community leaders since the situation with the NAPs happened with the hitching post about 3 months ago. So we've had three meetings since then, about one a month. In my initial introduction, I'd referred to California, Seattle as occupied territory. And somebody from that meeting took offense. And so I told some people from California and from Seattle that, and they're like, no, we just came from there, it's true. That's how it feels. The agenda that is just, it closes in around you. They come here so they can breathe. But we're under attack here too. They have to take out America. Because no, as long as there's an alternative to globalism, this global agenda that they're trying to sell, that the Europeans are embracing, as long as there's an America, they can't quite get over that hurdle. They have to destroy America. Well, the same thing on a smaller scale is they have to destroy the American redoubt. That's why they have such a heavily concentrated effort with their agenda, the homosexual agenda, the Common Core agenda, trying to get Islamization of our schools and all these things. They pour so much money and so much effort because they say if we can get Idaho to fall, if we can get Montana to fall, if we can get the eastern side of Washington to adopt this little measure, the rest will fall. So we have a fight on our hands, which is why you're here, I suspect. Because we don't need to hash out all the problems and issues that we're faced with. I'm just assuming, and I always get in trouble when I do that, this crowd is well aware of what we're up against. We're looking for solutions. But what solutions have we been trying lately? Think about it. And are they working? Is what we've been doing working? Well, that's a rhetorical question. We all know that we are losing ground. We have victories, but we take a step forward and we take two steps back, and then step forward, two steps back. So, what we want to do is make sure that the people who look to Idaho, to Montana, Wyoming, specifically this community, this is what we're concentrating on right now, that it truly is a refuge. But it's also a redoubt, is a fallback position. It is a refuge, it is a defensible position, like a castle that you fall back to when you're under attack. And what do? The enemy just goes away, right? When the army pulls back to its castle, a defensible position, the enemy just says, it's too hard, let's go home. No, then the siege is on. It's a defensible position, so when you draw back into a redoubt, you prepare to fight. Because they are coming. They are reinforcing. We're not talking about a physical fight, guns, bullets. Although historically, it has often come to that. We hope to avert that.
Amen.
So, we want to make sure that this is truly a refuge for like-minded, God-fearing patriots to come to fight. Get in the fight. There was a Texas couple last year. This is wonderful. I can't believe it. The Lord's led us here, which we hear all the time. Everybody says, the Lord led us here. My wife and I prayed about it, and we both, the Lord's drawn us to the American Redoubt, to Idaho, to wherever it is. But they said, Texas is falling. It's going to be a blue state within 10 years. Oops. So they're escaping. They come to North Idaho. And we talked. This agenda is coming. Idaho will fall too if we don't stand together. Amen. So what they did is they bought a remote piece of property, which I'm all for, completely withdrew. And to the folks that are wanting to get in the fight, they're saying to them, you're being divisive. We should just show the love of Christ. Go back to Texas. Because that's cowardly. To run from it because it's fallen to the enemy who wants to destroy our country. To run from that, take refuge here, and then withdraw into your little hole. And the people that do want to stand for liberty, stand for righteousness, to free the oppressed, to plead the case for the widow, to stand up against tyranny. You want to tell them they're wrong? We're at like 1772 right now. So, if you're going to be here, we ask that you get in the fight, because there's so much at stake. We're going to talk about how to do that. We're not looking for a fight. If you're sitting in your living room watching TV with your wife, and a man comes in the door to take your children, you are not being adversarial by confronting him. It's your duty to confront evil. Amen. Now, Romans says, if it is at all possible, far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If it's possible, if it's within your power, strive for peace. That's what the Founding Fathers said. The revolution, there were people chomping at the bit 20 years before the revolution started. But godly men said, no, we have to strive for peace. Because independence and all that stuff, that's a very last resort. You don't know what you're asking for. You grab your M4 and lock and load and go start getting down to business. You don't realize what you're saying, most of you. We have to explore and exhaust every single option. We're a ways off from that. I know a triggering event could happen. Bundy Branch came that close to shots being fired. But if at all possible, we need to seek peaceful resolutions. We have an amazing document, the Constitution. We have a system in place that is still, at least regionally, somewhat intact. Although we have judges from the outside overruling our own Constitution and appealing to a law that's in violation of the law of the higher power and higher authority, which puzzles me. But we have to stand together. We're going to learn how to do that. This isn't a hobby. This is a necessity because of the times that we're living in. So, committees. We need, there are some people that this isn't for. Just like in the founding of our country, there were people that were divided. There were clergy telling them that you shouldn't be standing up against the king because it's wrong. I thank God there are men who didn't listen to that. There are people who today, who are sitting in this room, this isn't for. That's okay, we're not looking for you. Just like with Gideon, he took 32,000 men and whittled it down to 300. And then they did the Lord's work. So we're looking for people who feel called to fight and stand for liberty, for a Judeo-Christian heritage, for truth, and to do justice, and stand together in his name and appeal to heaven. We will fail if we do not appeal to heaven. Yes, this is a Christian message. So, clergy. I know that there are some clergy here, not here. And there are some that are here and some that are not. There are some that should be here. I want to implore you to demand that your pastor get engaged, because this body needs them. We need their wisdom. We need scriptural truth. We need guidance. We need these young pastors to be mentored by the older ones, because they've been indoctrinated by really secular seminaries. We don't have the caliber of men today that we had at the beginning of this country. So we need to build those. And those that are there, we need to find them. We need to cultivate that. But we have to have the clergy. So let's talk about the committees, and then I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Hadian. I have a book right here called The Committees of Correspondence of the American Revolution. It's a document from 18. Anyway, it's a review of how the committees of correspondence, committees of safety, and the assemblies operated. And I have this on PDF. It's an old document. It's prior. It's open. What's the word? Not open source. Open public domain. I'll be more than happy to send it to any of you. I'll have my contact information out there. This is something that we should have so we have a full understanding of this. But if you look in there, it says, hence the primary movement was to bring the people to understand their interests and act in concert. And the first means used to attain this end was the establishment of committees of correspondence in different parts of the country. These committees were chosen in towns, counties, parishes, districts, or smaller neighborhoods. So necessary was the system in itself and so well adapted to promote the general welfare that it was acceded to everywhere. And in a short time, committees were so universally appointed throughout the colonies that the Friends of Liberty had speedy and direct channels opened with each other in every part of the continent. Imagine if they had the internet. This increased their mutual intelligence, gave them confidence and encouragement, harmonized their sentiments, and sowed the seeds of union, as in to be united for the cause of freedom. Read that last part to you again. This increased their mutual intelligence, gave them confidence and encouragement. This harmonized their sentiments and sowed the seeds of union. Do we need that today? Now, for the skeptics, if you look through here and you look on the internet and look Wikipedia, just look up committees of correspondence, committees of safety, you're going to find sprinkled throughout there shadow government. Shadow government. Okay, don't let that freak you out. First of all, some of them were shadow government. They were set up that way. There were several committees and several assemblies. So some of them were set up as shadow governments. Most of them were not. They were a civil body politic. They were people that are chosen from the communities, from the people, of the people, by the people, for the people, and represented and placed their, they laid their grievances out. They became very, very powerful. So in some cases, they earned the title shadow government, but that's really misleading. That's a misleading term, especially in the context of what we're establishing. The barriers that we face civilly or locally or with these committees, usually ignorance. People don't know what's going on. We try to wake them up. It's encouraging to see so many people waking up at such a rate that they are. Not fast enough for some of us. I understand that. We need to pray for them. Some people don't want to be woken up. Because once they become aware, it will require something of them. And so we're self-absorbed in this country. Which is the other barrier, and that's apathy. They don't care because they're too caught up in themselves. Even in the church. So, we're not going to try to convince anyone that there's a problem or that this is the solution. We're going to present to you what we are doing, and we're asking those of you who feel called to it, after prayerfully making the decision, joining us. Because these are going to be going, I'm getting letters now from people in Boundary County, Bonner County, Spokane, saying, I didn't know about this, I can't make it, but please, me too. People are hungry for this. And the Lord's hand is in this. So don't try to convince somebody that there's a problem. If they're not going to listen, move on. If you love wealth greater than liberty and the tranquility of servitude greater than the animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We seek not your counsel nor your arms. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you were our countrymen. One of my favorite founders, Samuel Adams. They were faced with the same thing. This isn't new. There is nothing new under the sun. Ego. Pastors, type A personalities, some of the worst offenders, business owners, community leaders. You're in charge of your local Tea Party group? You think this is going to threaten your piece of whatever importance in the world? That's not what this is about. There are people that are called to fight for Second Amendment rights. Some people are called to fight for liberty, land ownership, private land ownership, common core, fighting the homosexual agenda, protecting marriage the way God intended it to. So they look at the committees and go, ah, you know, there are some people that actually left the core groups that we were meeting with because they said, you know, I felt like I kind of got, you know, bait and switch. I thought this was supposed to be a defending the Naps Club. That was the catalyst. But if we protect marriage, do you think that will save the Republic? If we fight back and make illegal the abortion, will that save the Republic? If we fight back Common Core, if we get back our state lands, there's so many things that cannot be done by somebody who's just focused on one single issue. It's the single issue that you need to work within, but we need to work together as a civil body because there are groups that are spinning their wheels out here all alone, and they're not coordinating, they're not corresponding with one another and sharing ideas and strategies and victories. So if you really want to fight the homosexual agenda and protect marriage in Idaho, you've got to be pulled your efforts in and collect those into a civil body politic. Pastor Hayden is going to talk about. So one of the biggest barriers to these we've seen historically is our single issue people. Oh, this is a committee thing? All right, I thought this was we were going to be protecting marriage. We are. We're going to be protecting the Second Amendment. We're going to be working with groups that are focused on that. This is a concentrated collective, I hate that word, effort to stand against this agenda. But we've got to stand together. The entire body, made up of elected officials, clergy, business leaders, housewives, truck drivers, the entire committee, the community. So, I ask that you really open up your heart. We all have an ego, but one of the things I pray for is humility. That what I do glorifies Him, that I always put others and the mission, the cause, before myself, and put Him above all of that, so that I can get myself out of the way. I'm passionate. I have conviction, and I believe that what we're going to talk about today is the only hope that we have left of preserving. I'm not convinced we can save the Republic. That's our hope. But we need to be planning for Plan B. Regionally, even if we're going to save the nation anyway, it starts locally. And if God honors that and it takes off like a wildfire across the country, then great. Glory be to Him. It's just an honor for me to be able to introduce to you a great friend of mine and a man who's successfully stood up assemblies and committees across Washington State. And people don't need to be convinced. They're just saying, tell us what to do. But it's going to require something of us. This is the season which requires something of us. And he's going to talk about how to do that. Former governor, gubernatorial candidate in 2012 in Washington State. Great friend of mine. And senior pastor at Truth and Love Ministries, Pastor Sharon Hadian. Just come on up here.
Hey, this is Jordan Page, and you're tuned into Radio Free Readout.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. Child Protective Services has a long and sordid history. Now they kidnapped a family's children because they home-birthed their twins. Shortly after the birth, paramedics showed up at the family home and recommended the children go to a hospital for evaluation. The family politely declined, and lo and behold, CPS showed up the next day. In a very rare move, the Attorney General's office then took over the case. This is the same AG who is persecuting Christian business owners for refusing to participate in same-sex wedding ceremonies. The fact someone is a Christian, home births, breastfeeds, and homeschools their children is not evidence of abuse. It's evidence of love. CPS is out of control, but thank God a courageous commissioner ruled against CPS and these children are going home for Christmas. But let us resolve to never let this happen again. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Community Like Matt Shea Republic.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's great redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
All right, thank you, folks. Segment four, John Jacob Schmidt Show on Radio Free Redoubt. We're going to wind things up here. I want to remind you, you can always contact me at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. Remember, I get hundreds of emails, so I read every one of them, but I cannot respond to every single one of them. So please try to keep them brief if you can, and I'll do my level best to be able to respond. And if you do keep things short, sweet, to the point, then I can respond in kind, short, sweet, to the point. And that allows me to be able to correspond with other folks too, more people. Now, if you're listening remotely or a Black Echo rebroadcasting out on FM, AM from one of our Amron remote stations, if you're listening on an embedded player on some other website, don't forget to check out RadioFreeRedoubt.com. That's RedoubT.com, and learn more about what we're about, and also the nationwide communications network, Amron. And also thank you to AMP3 Medical, the Austere Medical Preparedness Project, for helping sponsor us tonight and keeping the lights on, keeping the mixing board on. Those guys do a wonderful job. They're patriots, and they've been very supportive of us. Now, what we are going to do is something a little bit different. Is we're not going to focus on communications, preparedness, patriot communications during Radio Free Redoubt. We're going to do an experiment. What we're going to try to do is a separate segment, but it's going to be like a separate podcast in and of itself. But it'll really just be like another, basically a 20 to 30 minute segment. This is the experimental stage. That is where we are going to focus specifically on preparedness and patriot communications issues, radio communications, and so on. and partisan communications. So that'll be a lot of fun. It'll be really compartmentalized because there's a lot of folks that are extremely politically tuned in, and that's what they want to focus on. And they're really not interested in communications. I mean, they understand that it's important, but it's just not their thing. And then there's folks that are completely, they want to just be the communications guy, radio operator, count on me when the chips are down. But they're not all, there's just the political stuff, and it's just, they just, it's not their thing. Now, for those of you, the overwhelming majority of you, where you see this kind of interlocking system of communications supporting the political side and vice versa, then you'll be able to listen all the way through and it'll all be relevant to you. So, but we are going to compartmentalize those for the folks that are more drawn toward one or the other. And so I'd love to hear your feedback on that. And also, we are going to be putting for WDFP, the Restoring America Radio that we're streaming live on right now, Sunday night. We want to invite you guys to give us your feedback. We're going to put a posting up with a poll that you can vote on. And we're going to more information on that's coming. I was going to do that this week, but things got away from me. So we're going to put that up. If there's a podcast over there you'd love to see added to the repertoire of Radio Free Redoubt, our lineup on Sunday afternoons, and there's a podcast over there you want to see added, then we're going to give you a voice and let you choose so we can expand the our broadcast schedule for those of you who might appreciate that. And that's all I got. So anyway, I'm going to wrap up. You guys have a blessed, super blessed week. Happy New Year. Once again, we've got our work cut out for us this coming year, and we are going to do this together. Some really cool announcements and several rallies and events that will be taking place this year. And already we're going to start working on T-Rex 2015. Hopefully we make it to then. We might be doing it for real between now and then. But anyway, Lord willing, it'll be a good training exercise coming up this summer and lots more stuff going on. So you have a great week and thank you all for being out there. I am John Jacob Schmidt. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.